Thank you. First of all, I would like to thank the organizers for inviting me to this wonderful conference. Today, I would like to talk about classical integral structures of two-dimensional nonlinear Schumann models whose target space is given by the Hohm three-dimensional sphere. So this sigma model is called Schumann sigma model, and I will explain about the meaning of the word hybrid here later. Okay, anyway, this talk is based on the collaboration with Io Kawaguchi at Kyoto University. He is my student, and Takuya Matsumoto at University of Sydney, and also based on these two papers. Okay, then let me begin with the introduction. Here, I would like to introduce our motivation and the background of our work. Okay, one of the most important progress in string theory is, needless to say, integrability in ADS-CFT. We got great success, and the achievement is summarized into this big review article. And it is quite natural to consider integral deformations of ADS-CFT as a next step, based on this great success. Indeed, some talks at this conference are devoted to this integral deformation of ADS-CFT. So noting that the ADS-CFT correspondence belongs to the rational class of integral models, like XXX model, then our motivation is the following. We want to consider XXZ-like deformations of ADS-CFT. This is our motivation. So here, for this purpose, as an example, we will concentrate on SCASH S3 for simplicity. Okay, then what is SCASH S3? SCASH S3 is represented by a deformation of the round S3. This is a metric of the round S3 with a radius capital L. This is a metric of the round S3. And it contains three angle variables, and this metric describes a round S3 as a S1 vibration over S2. So the isometry of this metric is given by SU2L times SU2R. Then we may consider a deformation of this round S3 by shifting the coefficient from 1 to 1 plus C. This constant parameter C is a sketching parameter. So when C equals 0, this metric is reduced to the round sphere. But for the non-balancing C, this metric is deformed, and the isometry SU2L times SU2R is broken to SU2L times U1R. I mean, SU2R symmetry is broken to U1R, while SU2 symmetry is still preserved, even after the sketching. This is the point, and this symmetry frequently appears in our later discussion, so please keep this symmetry in your mind. Okay. Before going to the detail, let me introduce a group element representation of the SCASH S3 metric. This is a SU2 group element. This is represented by SU2 generators T1, T2, T3, normalized by this condition. And this contains three angle variables. Then, by expanding the left invariant one-home capital J like this, then we can rewrite the metric of the SCASH S3 into this form. From this expression, you can see that this SCASH sphere corresponds to the XXC-like deformations because the coefficient in front of the J3 square is deformed from 1 to 1 plus C, like XXZ model. So we are now considering the XXZ-like deformation by considering the SCASH S3 geometry. Okay, then by taking the by using the trace, we can simplify this metric to this form. Okay, then I would like to introduce the sigma model actions on the SCASH S3. I will call this sigma model SCASH sigma models for simplicity. This is actions, And actually, these models appeared in Benjamin's talk on the first day of this conference. And he mentioned about the classical integral structures of these models in his talk. But here, we would like to concentrate on the classical integral structures of this sigma model. Okay, before going to the detail, let me complete the setup. Here, we will work on the Lorentzian signature of the world sheet two-dimensional Minkowski spacetime. And we use the boundary condition, the rapidly damping boundary conditions as boundary conditions instead of the periodic ones. Of course, we have some applications to string theory in our mind, but for simplicity, we will use rapidly damping boundary conditions so that the infinite dimensional symmetries like Youngians are discussed in a very defined way. And we ignore the Virasoro constraints also for simplicity. Okay? Then the global symmetry of this action is given by SU2L times U1R. By definition, left invariant one-horn is invariant under the SU2L transformation. And SU2R symmetry is broken due to the presence of this deformation term in this action. So the resulting symmetry is SU2L times U1R symmetry. And these are the transformation rules, and the classical equations of motion is given by this one. Okay, I would like to say again, we discussed the classical integral structure of scattered sigma model, and we concentrated on the classical integral structures, but for the quantum integrability, see the works, original work by Wigman, and the following progress by Janos et al., and the recent progress by Benjamin and Adam. Okay, so anyway, our claim here for the classical integral structure is the following. There are two descriptions to describe the classical dynamics of this sigma model based on the global symmetry SU2L times U1R. The first is the trigonometric descriptions based on the U1R symmetry, and the second one is the rational descriptions based on the SU2L symmetry. This is a claim, and Lux pair and monodromy matrix can be constructed for each of them. And two kinds of Lux pairs lead to the identical equations of motions, and the monodromy matrices are gauge equivalent. We can show these things. So in this sense, the classical integral structure of this scattered sigma model should be called the hybrid integral structure. This is what I want to say in my talk. Okay, this is from my talk. First of all, I would like to introduce the trigonometric description and rational description here and here. And then I would like to discuss the equivalence of the two descriptions. Then finally, I will summarize my talk. Okay, then let me explain the trigonometric descriptions. This part is based on these papers. This is a trigonometric Lux pair. This was originally constructed by Chertoniki, 1981. Here, we will use the expressions of the Lux pair given by Fadev and Reshekin. This is a Lux pair. This Lux pair contains three scalar functions, W1 equal W2, and W3 is different from the first two. This reflects the U1R symmetries. I mean, the SU2R symmetry is broken to U1R. And it contains four poles. And the the location of poles is related to the scattering parameter C through this equation. Okay, then by using the special component of this Lux pair, we can introduce a monodromy matrix. We will call this monodromy matrix right monodromy matrix or trigonometric monodromy matrix. This is conserved, and by computing the Poisson bracket of the Lux pair, we can derive the classical R matrix. And the R matrix is of trigonometric type, so we will call this Lux pair trigonometric Lux pair. Then, let's discuss the enhancement of U1R symmetry. As I said, SU2R symmetry is broken to U1R due to the scattering. And U1 current is given by the standard Natta currents. This is the Natta currents for the U1R symmetry. But here, we can find the conserved current, non-local conserved current for the, even for the broken components of SU2R. This is non-local conserved current for the broken component. This current is non-local because this current contains a scalar function chi of x, and chi of x is defined this one. This part contains a signature function defined by using step function. So this part introduces a non-locality to this conserved current. So this is non-local current. Then, by integrating the time component of the currents, we can get the conserved charges, Q3 and Q plus minus. Then, we want to compute the algebra. In order to compute the charge algebra, first of all, we have to compute the current algebra. This is the current algebra. So, this part is interesting part. Because this part leads to the non-trivial part of the QD homed SU2R algebra. This part. This part comes from here. This is the charge algebra. This algebra is nothing but the QD homed SU2R algebra. So QD homed SU2R symmetry is realized in this sigma model. Okay? And Q parameter is defined by this, and Q parameter is related to the scattering parameter C. And this parameter does not contain the Planck constant, so this is a classical Q deformation parameter. Okay. Then, furthermore, we can consider the classical analog of Cantor-Marfin algebra. This Q deformed SU2R algebra is enhanced to the Cantor-Marfin algebra. This is our claim, and there are just the non-local currents as well as the previous one. This is just a non-local currents. These are slightly different from the previous. The difference is very slightly, and this sign and this sign. So quite similar to the previous one, but these currents leads to affine generators in the Cantor-Marfin algebra. So anyway, by integrating these currents, we can get the affine generators here. And then we can compute the defining relations of Cantor-Marfin algebra in the sense of Drinfeldt's first realization. This is the defining relations of the Cantor-Marfin algebra at the classical level. And we can compute the classical analog of Q-set relations. These equations are obtained by directly taking a semi-classical limit of Cantor-Marfin algebra at quantum level. We can successfully checks the classical analog of set of relations also. Okay, by using the affine generators and non-affine generators, this is non-affine generators and non-affine generators, non-affine generators, and affine generators are here and here and here. Then, by acting affine generators and non-affine generators for plus minus component, we can generate an infinite tower of the conserved charges corresponding to Cantor-Marfin algebra. So anyway, we can generate an infinite number of conserved charges by using plus minus components of affine generators and non-affine generators. I want to show you the complete expressions of the conserved charges. This is a list of the conserved charges. Please don't see the details of these charges. The important thing is that all of these charges are written in terms of the conserved current, like the Yang-Yang generators in the sigma model. Okay, so the expression is quite similar to the Yang-Yang generators in the sigma models. Okay, then let's see another derivation of the conserved charges, infinite number of conserved charges. Infinite number of conserved charges also can also obtained by expanding the monodular beam matrix UR. Here, it is convenient to another expression of the spectral parameter, GR. Then, the cylinder of lambda R is mapped to the complex plane, GR. Then, we can expand the monodular beam matrix around at infinity on this plane. Then, we obtain these conserved charges corresponding to the upper half of the tower. This part. And by expanding the monodular beam matrix around the origin on this plane, we can get these conserved charges corresponding to the lower half of the tower. So by expanding the 2 points monodular beam matrix, we can obtain the whole tower, this whole tower. Okay, and before closing this part, I would like to mention about the Yangian limit of quantum affine algebra. When C2-0 limit is taken, then quantum affine algebra is reduced to SU2R Yangian algebra. This is the limit of the quantum affine algebra to SU2R Yangian algebra. These are the differences. This one. Then we can take the differences, these combinations. Then by dividing these differences by appropriate factors and taking C2-0 limit, we can successfully derive the SU2R Yangian generators like this. So roughly speaking, a half of this tower corresponds to the SU2R Yangian algebra. Yangian algebra is semi-infinite, and by holding these towers here, then we can get the semi-infinite tower structures of Yangian algebra. Okay, then let me explain about the rational descriptions to describe the classical dynamics of the Schacher sigma model. This part is based on these papers. Okay, the key ingredient here is the SU2L neta current. This is the SU2L neta current. This contains the deformation parameter C, but this is conserved by using equations of motions. And here, we would like to remember the VIGG construction. The VIGG is the abbreviation of the whole authors, Brezan, Ijikson, Jean Justin, Zubar. The statement is the following. If the conserved current, J sub mu, satisfies the flatness conditions given by something like this, then an infinite number of conserved non-local charges can be constructed systematically. This is the VIGG construction. So if I get flat conserved current, then we can generate an infinite number of non-local charges. So, first of all, let's check the flatness conditions for this current. This is the flatness conditions for this current. Of course, due to the scattering, this current does not satisfy the flatness conditions like this. This part, the remaining part is proportional to the scattering parameter C, but this term is not so bad, because this part is given by a total derivative. So we guess that we can improve this current somehow so that this current satisfies the flatness condition. Okay, and actually we can do that. And this is the expression of the improved currents. So by adding this improvement term, we can get improved currents. And depending on the sign in front of this improvement term, we can get two kinds of improved currents. Actually, we found this current recently by brute force. But this current was originally obtained by 10 years ago by Janus et al. By using elegant way by performing T-duality to O3 nonlinear sigma model with a dynamical theta term. So anyway, this improved currents exist. So we can use this improved currents to get infinite number of non-local charges by using the VIGG construction. Okay, this is a straightforward task. And this is an infinite number of conserved non-local charges. Here, I have shown the first two of them. The zero charge is nothing but the SU2L neta charge. The first is a level one Young-Yan charges. This is a usual expression. And this part contains a signature function on this part. So this part introduces non-locality to this conserved charge. And please note that the sign of improvement term is irrelevant at the charge level. Yeah, because at the charge level, square root C does not appear, and only C appears. So the sign of improvement is irrelevant at the charge level. So we have two copies of infinite set of conserved charges here. Then we would like to compute the charge algebra of these charges. So anyway, the current algebra is given by something like this. So this current algebra, at the current algebra level, commutators are modified due to the scattering parameters. Especially, let's see here, the commutators of JX and JX does not vanish anymore because due to the improvement, the special component of the current includes the time derivative. So that's why this commutator does not vanish. So, and the constant parameter C appear in front of the non-ultra-local term. And actually, this current algebra contains a non-ultra-local term, so there is a subtlety to compute the charge algebra. And Mark is going to talk about the non-ultra-local term in the next talk. And I don't mention about the non-ultra-local term here, but anyway, there is a subtlety to compute the charge algebra. Okay, anyway, the current algebra is modified, so this question is non-trivial. Is Young-Yan algebra still realized by using this modified current algebra? This is a resulting charge algebra. We computed this charge algebra by preserving the cell relations. That is a treatment of non-local term in our computation. And the non-trivial part is this part. The constant parameter C appears only here. And this part can be observed by redefining the second non-local charge. So Young-Yan algebra is still realized even after the scattering. This is our result. And then let me introduce the Lux pair and monodromy matrices by using the improved currents. There are two kinds of improved currents. So here we can introduce the two kinds of Lux pairs. And these Lux pairs lead to the same equations of motion. So at the classical level, we can use these Lux pairs as well as the trigonometric one. And by integrating the special component of Lux pairs, we can get two kinds of monodromy matrices by following the usual way. And by computing the Poisson brackets of Lux pairs, we can get the classical R matrix, and the resulting R matrix is of rational type. So we will call this R matrix, this Lux pair, rational. So anyway, there are two descriptions to describe the classical dynamics of this scattered sigma model. This is a list of symmetries and integrable classes. So based on SU2L symmetry, that is Young algebra as hidden symmetry, and the class is rational, and in another description, it is based on the UR symmetries, and we have Cantor-Mahan algebra as hidden symmetry, and the integral class is trigonometric. So Schwarzschild sigma models can be described as two different classes. In this sense, this integral structure should be called hybrid integral structures. So I mean that the classical integral structure is rich. It's interesting to consider the classical integral structure carefully. Okay. Let me explain about the equivalence of the two descriptions. This part is based on these papers. The statement is quite simple. It is described by these two equations. Roughly speaking, dividing the trigonometric monotony matrix into the two parts, like this. Here, the spectral parameter GR is related to lambda R through these relations, and depending on the sign of the real part of GR, we divide the trigonometric monotony matrix, like this. One half is gauge equivalent to one rational monotony matrix, and the other half is gauge equivalent to just a rational monotony matrix. And here, G tilde is composed of a constant element at infinity and the SL2 rescaling. Rescaling of the SL2 generators. Of course, the spectral parameters lambda R and lambda L plus minus are independent of each other. So we have to fix the relation between the spectral parameters before showing this equivalence. But here, we can fix the relation between the spectral parameters, or like this. I will explain about the derivation later. But here, by assuming this relation, let's see the equivalence of monotony matrices. Okay. Let's consider the gauge equivalence of Black pairs before the monotony matrices. We start from a left Black pair with plus sign. This is a Black pair. The story is almost same for minus sign, but for simplicity, we consider the plus sign left Black pair. Then, by performing a gauge transformation to this Black pair, we get this expression. The gauge transformed expression of this Lux pair is given by something like this. After some algebra, we get this expression. Then, by using the relation between the spectral parameters, exactly speaking, the inverse relation of the previous, we get this expression. The right-hand side of this equation is almost trigonometric Lux pair up to exponential factors here and here. These exponential factors are removed by rescaling the SL2 generators like this. Then we get this expression. And so the trigonometric Lux pair is gauge equivalent to the rational Lux pair. So this simple computation leads to this equivalence. So by using this relation, we can show the equivalence at the monotony matrix level, described by this equation. And the story for minus sign is almost the same. The different point is that the SL2 generator rescaling here. That is given by this one. So the rescaling, only the rescaling is different. Okay, let's see the derivation of the relation between the spectral parameters. To do that, First of all, let's take the square of the previous relation. Then we get this expression. This is represented by a Möbius transformation. This can be understood as a Möbius transformation. Then, this Möbius transformation can be fixed by using the data of modular matrix expansions. This is the data of modular matrices and the corresponding the charges and expansion points here. So we have already discussed blue boxes. These boxes are not surprising, but the red boxes might be a bit surprising. Yeah, because SU2L Youngian algebra can be reproduced from the trigonometric monodromy matrix. And quantum affine algebra can be reproduced from the Gaussian monodromy matrices. So anyway, this data can be shown by direct computation, I mean by directly expanding the monodromy matrices. So this data is true, and by using this data, we can fix this Möbius transformation. Okay? Then, let's see the geometrical interpretation of this spectral parameter relation. Let's start from the space of spectral parameter in the trigonometric description. That is basically given by a cylinder. This geometry is periodic in the direction, in the imaginary directions, and there are whole poles in the trigonometric Lux pair, so there are whole poles on this cylinder. The position of the poles depends on the value of C, and for positive C, the whole poles on the imaginary axis, and for the negative value of C, the poles are spread like this. So, anyway, we have four poles on the cylinder, and then we want to move to a complex plane from cylinder. For simplicity, we consider the positive C case, then our four poles are on the unit circle on this complex plane, GR, and the infinite point is included into this in this plane. So this complex plane should be regarded as a Riemann sphere with four punctures. So the resulting shape of the space is a Riemann sphere with four punctures. Then, let's see the spaces of spectral parameters in the rational descriptions. There are the two Riemann spheres with two punctures. Then, we can connect these two Riemann surfaces on the cut. The resulting space is regarded as a Riemann sphere with four punctures. Then, we can see the agreement of the spaces. The spaces of spectral parameters are identical as a Riemann sphere with four punctures. In particular, the imaginary axis on GR complex plane corresponds to this cut. So, our trigonometric description is identical to a pair of rational descriptions. We can see this from these simple pictures of Riemann sphere. Finally, I want to mention about the C2-0 limit in this description. In the C2-0 limit, this cut shrinks to a point. This point is nothing but a expansion point corresponding to the SU2R Youngian algebra. So, inversely speaking, the breaking of SU2R opens up the cut. And the endpoints of the cut correspond to the expansion point for the quantum affine algebra. By expanding these two points, we can recover the conserved charges corresponding to the quantum affine algebra. This is a simple interpretation corresponding to the quantum affine algebra in your theory. Okay, then let me summarize my talk. Here, we have discussed the classical integral structure of scattered sigma models. This sigma model exhibits SU2L Youngians and quantum affine algebra as infinite dimensional symmetries. Then, there are the two descriptions to describe the classical dynamics of the sigma model. The first is a rational one, and the second is a trigonometric one. So in this sense, the classical integral structure should be called hybrid classical integral structures. Then we have shown the equivalence of these two descriptions at the monodomain matrix level. And in particular, we fix the relation between the spectral parameters in these descriptions. And here, I would like to note that the present argument is applicable to buffed AD3 case, at least at classical level. By taking a double weak rotation to sketch S3, we can realize buffed AD3 geometries. And these buffed AD3 geometries sometimes appeared in some applications of ADS-CFT, for example, ADS condensed matter physics or buffed AD3 dipole CFT2 scenario. In the condensed matter physics, sometimes a constant magnetic field is considered. Then anisotropy of the space is introduced. So then this type of anisotropic space-time is introduced. And then buffed AD3 geometry is related to the scenario of this kind. And I think that we may find some application of our result to this buffed AD3 dipole CFT2 scenario recently proposed by Elsheuer-Kricker and Swan-Strominger. Okay, let me show you other directions. The first thing is the Schrödinger sigma model. Presented the result on the sigma model at his poster presentations. I think that some of you saw his presentation. The same argument is applicable to this sigma model, but in this case, the QD-homed SU2R symmetry is replaced by QD-homed Poincaré symmetry. And we are now considering the affine extension of this QD-homed Poincaré symmetry. But we are not sure for the mathematical formulations of this affine extension of QD-homed Poincaré symmetry. But anyway, we can compute infinite number of conserved charges corresponding to the affine extension of QD-homed Poincaré symmetry. But we have not fully understood the meaning of the commutation relation. So if you know about the affine extension of QD-homed Poincaré symmetry, then please let me, let us know about it. Okay, and the second is generalization to the Schwarz-Wesselmino-Novikov-Witten models by adding the Wesselmino-Witten term. And at certain values of the coefficient of Wesselmino term, the trigonometric description becomes rational. This point corresponds to the TDR point to the round S3 case. So at that special point, trigonometric descriptions becomes rational, and quantum affine algebra degenerates to SU2R Jungian symmetries. We are now preparing papers on this result, and it may be interesting to consider other integral deformations of round S3 by following the work by Fateev. He considered two-parameter integrable deformations of round S3. So probably, I think that we may find theories corresponding to trigonometric and trigonometric for rational and elliptic and so on. I'm not sure for elliptic case, but I think that trigonometric and trigonometric case is interesting. This corresponds to the U1L symmetries times U1R symmetry. So according to this Riemann sphere picture, by breaking the SU2L symmetries, the expansion point corresponding to the SU2L Jungian is replaced by another cut. Then the geometry of this Riemann sphere becomes a torus. So from this simple picture of Riemann sphere, we can predict space of spectral parameters should be torus. corresponding this case. And it may be also interesting to consider the half-line case. Then we can see this is Cantor-Marfan algebras or this is Youngian algebras by following the work by McKay and Short on the principal Carrier model case. Okay, I will stop here and thank you for your attention.
Questions? So is it correct to say that you can also view the S2 as a particular limit of your squashed S3 in terms of sigma model? In the sense, because you can either tune the S2 part or the S1 part of the action, and if you make one disappear, it would be just an S2, which you could view as SU2 over U1. I was just wondering what happens with the integral structure in that limit.
I don't understand what you ask.
Well, maybe you can go back to the definition of the model.
Okay. Okay. This
right.
is action.
Right. So if you tune C, is it minus one?
Yeah. C equal minus one corresponds to the O3 nonlinear sigma model.
O3
nonlinear sigma model. O3 invariant nonlinear sigma model. Okay. Target space becomes S2.
I mean, that should be a model which is not trigonometric. Does that fit with your?
For C equal minus one case, I think that in that limit, only SU2L Youngian algebra should exist.
Only the SU2L?
Yeah, there is no Cantor-Marfan algebra.
Okay, that would fit, right?
Yeah, actually, the C equal minus one limit is a singular limit. This is a Riemann sphere picture. By taking the C equal minus one limit, this point goes to plus minus one. I mean that this cut goes to the singularities of the last pair. So, yeah, probably I think that's.
So I have two questions. The first is, how does the Youngian double fit into the scheme?
Youngian double, yeah.
I'll give you the second bit straight away. The second is, how does the quantum spectrum manage to respect the representation theory of both sectors?
Okay, for first questions, we have tried to look for Youngian double in our models. But we have not succeeded yet. Yeah, actually, we have we could construct lowering operators for the Youngian algebra. But I think that the resulting algebra seems not to be Youngian double. Yeah, probably something other. Yeah, so anyway, we have no definite answer for the Youngian double. It's still difficult to realize a Youngian double in your system. And for the second question, so you mean the spectrum of the Cantor-Marfan algebra and Youngian algebra? You mean the relation between the spectra? I'm not sure for the spectra. Yeah, probably, we have to consider the quantum level analysis of this sigma model, but we know the classical integral structure well, but I'm sure for the quantum structure of this sigma model, so probably I think that some of you are experts for the spectra of this sigma model.
So tensor product representations of Q-deformed Lie algebras usually lack parity invariance. So P is broken, but PT is usually conserved. So I wonder whether this has any implications for you. I mean, it could mean that the models you consider are not the most fundamental ones.
I'm sure. I have no idea.
So my concern is that P is dynamically broken. I mean,
P is dynamically broken. Yeah, actually, I think that's true. Yeah, for example, the TDR picture of the Scaccio sigma model is nothing but the OCD non-linear sigma model with dynamical theta term. So in that picture, the parity is broken, I think.
I had a question about the singular points. You say in the trigonometric case you get four instead of two poles, and these singular points usually have something to do with the existence of local,
yes, local
conserved charges. I was wondering, have you looked at these new local conserved charges, or are they actually four different ones, or are they somehow related?
Yeah, I'm sure, because in order to discuss local charges, we have to impose periodic boundary conditions instead of rapidly damping conditions, because we have to regularize quasi momentum in order to derive the local charges. So I'm not sure for the local charges, but by imposing periodic boundary conditions, we can discuss local charges. But I think that in the periodic boundary condition case, the local charges should be equivalent to other local charges.
Well, I mean, if I don't quite see how the boundary conditions play into that, because these are local charges. After all, they shouldn't care about the boundaries too much.
But in order to obtain the local charges, we have to use quasi momentum.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And
maybe, yeah.
It depends on the volume, so we have to regularize. So.